So when you think about your finances, what do you think about? When you think about your finances, do you feel happy? When you think about your finances, do you feel frustrated? When you think about your finances, do you get nervous? Are you worried? When you think about your finances, what goes through your head? I want to bring you to a place today where maybe when you think about your finances, you think about them the way God wants you to think about them. Because really, that's the most important thing we do with regards to our finances, with regards to our money. I want to start today by turning your attention to Proverbs chapter 3. One of the most beloved verses. Remember, one of the first verses I learned, first real passages that I learned as a believer was Proverbs 3. Starting in verse 5, we're going to read to about verse 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now watch this. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Trust the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it'll be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. And watch this next, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And verse 10 says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, how many of you have barns? How many of you have vats? What's a vat? A vat? A vat of wine, think of a ginormous barrel filled with wine. I know that would make you pretty happy, but I have a barn. Not in a literal sense, but I have barns. I have vats. Don't you have barns and vats? Oh, they're probably empty. Or you know. So we all have barns and vats. They're different types of things. They are bank accounts for us, right? They are retirement savings accounts. Maybe they're IRAs, right? Maybe there are things that you put your money into. Maybe it's property. But we all have barns. We all stored our increase somewhere, I hope. Now, Joseph had a dream in Genesis 5 about a famine. Do you remember that? This famine was coming, and God warned Joseph about an upcoming famine and told him what to do. And God told Joseph, take a little bit from every year that there's a harvest and save that for when there's a famine. Take a little bit now and save it for later. That's the barn. Now, farmers don't build barns and just leave them empty all the time. They put the hay in there, they put the horses in there, the cattle go in there, food goes in there. Stuff goes in the barn, right? Now, what kind of farmer would not get hay ready for when there wasn't any grass? Wintertime. What do the cows eat in the wintertime? Pie? You know, there's a storage of something that they eat. Why? Because the farmer knows, the grass is going to die when it gets what? Cold. See? So I was talking a little bit about this last week about what a budget is. A budget is having barns, right, where you put some stuff for when things happen. How many understand that this morning? It's a very simple principle here. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. This means acknowledge him in all your ways, in what you're doing. Acknowledge him the way you work. Acknowledge him the way you spend your money. Acknowledge him with a plan for your money, right? So this is really, really important stuff. But I love the promise here. Now, is God a liar? So if we honor the Lord with our possessions and the first fruit of our increase, what's going to happen in verse 10? Barns will be filled with plenty and vats overflow with new wine. So somebody says to me, I have no money to budget. Really? You have no money coming in at all. You don't have a nickel. You don't bring a nickel in. How are you even standing here in front of me? What did you eat this week? Where did you live this week? You have absolutely zero? Well, here's an interesting thing. Lean not on your own understanding. A lot of people lean so hard on their own understanding, they don't trust God at all. And as a result of that, some people live and they don't depart from evil. Now, I know some people have no money because, frankly, they've been sinning with it. Let's be honest. Look at, here's a starting principle to think about. This is Psalm 50, verse 12. God's kind of going through a list of things here. And he says, let's look at, go to 50 verse 7. Hear, my people, I will speak to Israel. I'll testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices of burnt offerings, which are continual before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Right? Those belong to God. All the birds of the mountain, all the wild beasts of the field are mine. In verse 12, if I were hungry, I'd not tell you, for the world is mine, look at, and all its fullness. Everything we are belongs to who? Everything we have belongs to who? So the Bible refers to us as stewards or managers or caretakers, whatever you want to call it. But it all belongs to God. Is there a shortage? If it all belongs to God, it couldn't possibly be a shortage if it all belongs to God. There's no shortage. That makes sense? So then it says in Philippians, my God will supply all your wants. What does it say? What will he supply? So God is supplying all of our needs. All of our needs. Your needs have been supplied. So, let's look at another verse, Haggai. Go to, best way to find Haggai, if you're not real sure, go to Malachi and flip back two books. Haggai. If you find Malachi and go backwards two books, you'll bump into Haggai. I don't know why I remember it that way, but that's just how I remembered it. Haggai. Chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to read a bunch of verses here. Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts. Ready for this? Consider your ways. Do you know how few people actually stop and consider their ways? Somebody would say, maybe they'd say, yeah, I'm having a rough time in my finances. Well, have you considered your ways? Have you given consideration to how you're handling things? Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. Charlie Jansky shared this verse with me when I was having problems with basement waterproof when I was running that. And I owed the IRS money, was squandering money, doing selfish things. He said, I want to read a verse to you. And he read this verse. And then he said, you've sown much but bring in little. You eat but don't have enough. You drink but not filled with drink. You clothe yourself but no one's warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Is that your testimony? You know, I'm sowing a lot, but nothing's had. I'm not bringing in anything. I'm eating, but I'm never filled. I have stuff to drink, but I'm not enough to get, well, the original language says enough to get drunk, which means overflow. You clothe yourself, but you're not warm enough. Then it closes this thought with verse 7. The Lord says, consider your ways. And then in verse 8, it says, go up on the mountain and bring wood and build the temple. See, Israel, you're so selfish and filled with your own ways, you're not glorifying God. That's the sort of the lesson here, the application here. But consider your ways. Consider your ways. Matthew chapter 6, you know, Jesus spent more time talking about money and hell than he did about love, which is kind of interesting. But he spends a good deal of this chapter talking about money. Matthew 6, 19 This is really interesting. It says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Say that, read that back to me tonight, this morning, please. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's the problem. See, money is not the problem. Materialism is the problem. Lust is the problem. Selfishness is the problem. And living in the now, as was mentioned in Sunday school, is the problem. Everyone's telling you now, live in the now. Get it now. Do it now. Have it now. You want it? Get it now. And this now mentality for everything is what's driving people into amazing debt. Amazing debt. Amazing debt. There's a couple teachers. I can't remember what the ones. There's one guy's name, Christian financial teacher. Who's the guy that Aaron is? What's his name? Not Burkett. Ramsey, David Ramsey. This one guy, cut all your credit cards. Get all completely out of debt. No debt at all. I don't necessarily agree with that completely. But I'll say this. He's right on the money when he talks about using things like that to get what you want now, because you won't plan for it in the future. I think if you consider your ways, let's say you want to buy some gadget, and that gadget is a really nice gadget, and you don't have the money for that gadget right now. So now you go to the Bible and you start thinking about, okay, are my finances in order? Do I have a written budget? Let's say you do. Do I tithe and give offerings? Let's say you do. Let's say you give 10% of your income and then some. And you're working on figuring out how to give more. Beautiful. Let's say you've taken care of your family and you have a savings account. Great. Let's say you've even planned a little further out and you have a retirement account. Beautiful. You're doing great. If you're that far along, thank God, hallelujah. I don't know that many of us are there. But if you are there, that's fantastic. Now let's say you look at this gadget you want to get. Let's say it's a boat or whatever. It doesn't even matter. It's a gadget. And you start thinking about that gadget. Consider your ways. What are you going to do with that gadget? Why are you going to buy that gadget? Is that gadget something you can use to bless people with? Is that really why you want it, or do you just want that gadget? consider your ways. This makes sense? Why do we do what we do? That's what consider your ways mean. And I think this grip that materialism has on us, it drives us to want things immediately. This is why someone can get out of college, immediately get a job, and then right away buy a house, two cars, way over their head in debt, start buying things with credit cards, get the big screen TVs. They want to live like mom and dad, which took 50 years to get there. They want to get there in 2 years. This is a problem. By the way, college debt. I heard this person the other day say, well, I don't mind college debt because it's probably going to get forgiven anyway. Have you heard this? Yeah. Friend of mine, $160,000 of college debt. Job will pay him probably, for he trained, maybe $65,000 a year, high end. How long is it going to take him to pay that back? He'll never pay it back. First of all, because it'll be, you know, you don't pay back the first whatever. I don't even know how that works. I never got a student loan because I wasn't smart enough to go to school. So here's this guy now. He's got $160,000 of debt. What's he going to be able to put on that debt? A little bit a week per month? How long is it going to take him to pay that off? I don't know. Well, it's a lot of debt to carry. And if there's interest, now if you told me you'll give me an unlimited amount of money, you'll loan it to me, I could have as much as I want with no interest, I'll take it. And then I'll use it and I'll make something with it. But if you're going to give me money and charge me interest for it, I'm going to really carefully think about that move. Because that's just, you got to be smart. Right? Now, Jesus goes on and says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because you know what's going to happen with your treasure on earth? Look at it. Moth. How many of you have moths in your house? We have moths. I pulled out a jacket the other day. A whole suit jacket, holes in it everywhere. Like, what the, what in the world? Where'd these come from? So someone, maybe, how do you get rid of these moths without having anything stink like moth? Huh? What? Pheromone traps? We'll talk later. So, you know, moths get in, and it wasn't a great suit, but it was mine. Moth and rust. Rust! How many have rust on their car? You know, I have a beautiful car. I love my Buick. It's a great car. I got a great deal on it. It's a nice looking car. It rides better than any car I've ever ridden. It's got a little rust on it. That's the way it is. Rust. You can't avoid it, really. Rust. Here's another one where thieves break in and steal. They'll take a lawnmower right out of a church. Think, our lawnmower got stolen. Yeah. How about that? So if any of you took it, just bring it back. There's forgiveness for you. Probably a short jail sentence and a fine, but... Gone. So I think we paid $7,500. Gone. Now, thank God at the time, there was an excellent insurance policy written. Yay. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Oh, boy. But it was stolen. Why? Thieves break in and steal. So if the moths don't get it, the rust will get it. If the rust doesn't get it, the thieves will get it. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor where thieves break in and steal. Isn't that great? So here's the thing. This treasure we're laying up in heaven is for a future time. And it's not my treasure in heaven. I'm not saying, I'm going to get this money and put it in heaven, and when I die, it'll be there. That's like the pharaohs, you know, they bury it with all their stuff. It's like this guy said to his wife, he said, I want you to make a promise. There's $50,000 buried in the backyard. When I die, I want you to put it, I want to take it with me. And the wife says, no problem, honey, I promise you I'll have $50,000 with you when you go. So they're lowering this guy into the grave when he dies. The wife is standing there, smile on her face. Her friend who she told this promise to said, did you put the money in the casket with him? Yes, I did. I can't believe you'd be so foolish as to put $50,000 cash in the casket. She said, cash? Cash my eye. I wrote a check. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. This is what this means. This means I am preparing for tomorrow in Christ. And you know what I'm preparing? I want to see people that I led to Christ in heaven. And I want to use my money to help people get there. I want to use my money, whatever little I have, I want to use my money to glorify God and win people because there's an eternity in view. Do you understand this? I have to learn to spend my money with an eternal viewpoint. I have to learn to think about my money with an eternal viewpoint. Do you understand what I mean by that? How many get what I mean by that? In other words, you have eternity in mind when you spend your money. Now, that doesn't mean you can't buy things, have a little bit of fun now, go on a little vacation, rest with your family. Beautiful. Why is that? Because when you do that, you're also preparing for eternity. Your rest time, you're developing intimacy with your family, you're having fun with your friends, you're developing relationships. Fantastic. Better be in your budget. Make sure you plan for it. Don't put it on a credit card. I had a pastor friend of mine put his missionary trips on his credit card. I said, what? What are you doing? What? You put a missionary trip on a credit card, you plan. Now, next year, how many of you would like to take a missions trip? You know, probably the only reason, nobody raised their hand, I'm sorry. How many would like to take a missions trip?
Hello.
Think about it. Okay. How many of you are on a missions trip right now? All right. Now, how many would like to go somewhere and preach the gospel in another nation or help somebody build their church in another nation? Raise your hand. Okay, good. You know, probably the reason you haven't gone is because you haven't planned. If you started right now putting money aside in a little missions account for yourself and start socking money in there, I bet you if you consider your ways, and if in all your ways you acknowledge God, He will direct your paths. Didn't the Bible just say that? So I was asked to go on this trip. We didn't have the money. And they were all pressuring me to go. My pastor said, put it on your credit card. I said, no, I don't believe that. I can't do that. Why not? I don't know. It doesn't sound right. So I stayed up all night reading Proverbs, trying to get an answer. And I read one verse, the borrower is servant to the lender. I said, okay, there's my verse. I can't go. So I woke up the next morning, I called him. I said, I'm not going to go on this trip. Well, why not? I said, because the borrower is servant to the lender. He was dead quiet. And then he said, okay, I respect that. I said, good, because that's the Bible. I'm not going to borrow money from mammon to do something for God. You know, I'm going to save it up and do it right. And, you know, every trip we've gone on, we've never borrowed money to go on a missions trip. Wow. God wants you to go, you'll go. But at the same time, you got to plan to go if you want to go. Amen? I could say, well, if God wants me to fly to Mars, He'll send me to Mars. Okay, that's really crazy. But if God wants you to go to Africa, then He'll go, why not put money aside for a trip and see if He'll direct your path, if it's on your heart to do that. Right? Okay. So the problem isn't money. It's the love of money. It's materialism in 1 Timothy 6:10. It's materialism, hoarding, selfishness, and living in the now. I want it now, and I'm not willing to store it up. All right, Proverbs 21:20. Let's read a couple more verses here. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. Huh. So a wise person has things stored up. See it? There is a desirable treasure. That's wealth. There is wealth and oil, provisions, stored up in the dwelling of the wise. Look at verse, the second part of that verse. What's the foolish person do? Squanders it. Are you a squanderer? Yeah, squanderer. You squander around and around and around and around. Are you a, that's the wanderer. But are you a squanderer? How many of you are squanderers? Don't raise your hand. Do you squander? What, you don't store, you don't plan, you don't save, you just squander. I know a lot of squanderers. I got a very good friend of mine. The minute he gets his hands on any cash, squanders it. Squanders it. Barely pays his bills, sometimes doesn't, 2-3 months, but squanders whatever he gets. Squanderer. Wants it now, it's got to have it now, squanderer. And here's what he says, I deserve it. No, 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 you deserve nothing. Here's that, we don't deserve anything. We deserve what? We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. Whatever we get from God is a grace and should be treated very carefully as such. I remember when I was going through that thing with the waterproofing business and I had made those terrible mistakes, a very, very good friend of mine saw that I was budgeting and trying to get out of debt, and she helped me with the budget a little bit. And then one afternoon she said, I'm going to give this to you and I want you to use it. She handed me a gas credit card, Sunoco Gas, or a mobile card. It was a mobile card. It was Betsy. Gave me a mobile card. And you know what? I had that mobile card, and I was almost afraid to touch it. It was such a sacred thing to me. And I said, Betsy, define what you mean by this. I'm not going to put things on it. She said, I want you to fill your tank up when you need to fill your tank so you can run your business. And she said, and don't worry about it. I'll pay the bill. It was the sweetest thing one of the sweetest things anyone's ever done for me. And I used it for like a week or two, and then that something else happened where I didn't need it anymore. But she gave it to me, and I filled my tank up a couple times, and I remember just being so, I didn't want a drop of that gas to fall on the ground. It was just so sacred to me because it was a gift. Well, all of our money is like that. Every penny that comes in is like that. But we do tend to squander. If you go down a few verses to verse 26, and Proverbs 21, it says, the greedy covet. The covet, look at verse 25. The desire of a lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Look at that. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous give and do not spare. So here's the opposite. We're putting off squandering. We're putting off lazy. And what are we putting on? Generosity. So the goal of the storehouse, the goal of the full barns is what? Generosity. See it? That's the biblical goal. When I think about my finances, I ought to be thinking about, I want to get to a place and stay at a place of generosity. Proverbs 6. We're almost done. This is one of the most poignant and powerful passages on preparing that you'll read in the Bible. Proverbs 6, starting in verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. What's a sluggard? Good for nothing, bum slug. Doesn't do anything, doesn't contribute anything. It's beyond lazy. It's somebody who just says, he's a blood-sucking, you know. This is somebody who doesn't, not only does he not provide or give, he takes. He's a drink. He's a consumer who offers nothing. That's a sluggard. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Now, we read a little while ago, consider your ways. Now we're going to consider the ant's ways and gain some wisdom. This is incredible. Who, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Look at that. Doesn't need anybody to tell her. Doesn't need anybody standing over her, forcing her to do it, there's something innate in the ant that tells them you're going to have a time, just like Joseph, there's going to come a time when there's not going to be anything, and the only thing you're going to be able to live on is what you've stored. Are you watching our economy right now? I hope you are. It may be too late. I'm going to just be honest with you. It may be too late to start really getting serious for some people. You say, well, what if it's too late? Do it anyway. Honor God. And God'll bless it. But I tell you, we're getting to a point now where I think it's going to get crazy. Look at, inflation. Food costs alone. I mean, we were talking about this the other day. If you spent $200 a week on food a while back, it's $300 a week now. It's that drastic. It's 33, 40% higher. It's not even a few bucks. Used to be inflation was like, you know, the food costs would go up 4 or 5%. They've like gone, it's nuts. Am I wrong? It's crazy. And sometimes when you get in the hot water, what people like to do, they want to pay their credit cards off, they get a loan on their house. Well, the rates have gone up on that. Now your mortgage rates have gone up. So this is going to be a bit of a squeeze. And I don't know how long it's going to last or what it's going to be like. I'm praying that somehow some leadership happens this November. Maybe there's some change, I don't know. But what I'm really hoping is that God's people take his word seriously and reap the blessing and benefit of honoring God. So go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider ways and be wise, having no captain or ruler, provide supply in summer. Gather food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? How long? When will you rise from your sleep? Then this verse, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. A friend of mine had a business back in Rome, and I remember I'd say, call him for lunch. Say, you want to grab lunch? Sure. And then we'd have lunch. I said, where are you going now? He said, I'm going to go home. He'd go home after lunch. And I'd say, okay. And you didn't work from home back then. He was going home and he was sleeping in the afternoon. Or he'd go home and he'd read magazines, or he'd go home and, you know, put his feet up, watch television all afternoon. He's a business person. And I always wonder, I said, man, this guy's, he's got a nice excavating business. He's putting in these septic systems, making great money. And then he started doing that. And then I watched him lose his wife, his house. He lost everything. This verse is so true. He lost everything because he became a sluggard. He folded his hands. He just said, I have enough. I'm okay. I don't need to do anything. I'm just going to put this on autopilot, you know. Probably was what he was thinking, but it didn't work. This ant prepares. This ant is a self-starter. This ant has no leader. And this ant is the opposite of laziness. Think about when you feel lazy. You feel entitled. Maybe you're a little tired, you know. But you think about the ant and you say, you know what? I have to be prepared. I want to get myself to a point where I have something laid aside. Now, I want to give you some action steps, because you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm Pastor, I'm not there. How do I get there? Number one, meet and talk to somebody about your finances. Maybe you just need a tune-up. Maybe you're not a total shambles, but maybe you need a tune-up. I'll speak for him. Menzel will talk to anybody about this. And there's no better person on the planet to talk to. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, you may not like what you hear. But let me just say, there's a lot of things in here I read, I don't like what I read. But when I honor them, God blesses me. That makes sense? So, you know, honestly, set a time. You got to get on his calendar. It's not easy, but he'll put you on. I'll talk to you, and I'll tell you another person I'm going to speak for who would do this for you is Harry Bennett. Because Harry is, they're very good with this. And we'll walk you through some steps you need to take. That's the first thing. Meet and talk with somebody. Pray. But more important than that, when you're thinking about this, think about the motives of money. Think about what your attitude is like toward your finances, towards money. Be ready to make changes. Be ready to make changes. But I would say, come see me if you'd like. I will meet with you. My wife and I will talk to you. Menzo will do a great job. Of course, I would prefer you go to him. But also Larry will meet with you and help you lay out a plan. Because what we ought to have is categories of money set in little barns. And when the car dies, which it will, Casey, how old is your car?
5 years.
Have you changed tires on it? Yeah. You have? Chris says no.
I don't drive a lot.
Okay. At some point, you're going to need new tires, aren't you? So I would suggest you have money for tires. Maybe you're going to need them a year from now. So you start saving $1,000 a week for now, and you might have enough for tires, because tires are wicked expensive right now. Paul, you need tires. Paul's having tires put on his car. Paul has a, believe it or not, guys, Paul has a budget. And Paul has his money for his tires. This guy from when he was 5, David, 5, Anne Marie, 2. They had a budget. Anne Marie started earlier. But we taught them, lay aside, don't spend all your money. Don't squander. You're going to have to buy a car, right? You're going to have to fix the thing. You're going to want a house one day, you know? You're going to rent your whole life? So what else might happen in the next year? Well, how many of you have an older hot water heater? Do you know what a hot water heater costs? Let's say $1,000 installed, because we just did a while back. So now you have to put a hot water heater in. Do you have the money for that? Well, maybe not right now, but you think you should put a little in house repairs and set that aside in the barn? How many understand where I'm getting at here, right? Put some money in the barn for the house repair, for the auto repair, for the health need. Inevitably, something's going to break. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to trip over a vacuum cleaner. Something's going to happen, right? And you're going to have... Too soon? And you're going to have some financial woes from that. But you know what? Thank God for the barn. You know, the barn isn't just a pretty thing to look at. Fill it with stuff for the need. And that's what a budget is. It's just filling up the barn so that when the time comes and you need it, it's in the barn. Amen? How many of you understand this morning? Okay. So that's what I would say. Those are some first steps. I'm sure there's a whole lot more that can be said. Maybe we'll get Menzo up here on a Sunday soon and have you do something else on this topic. I really want to help you folks. And listen, I want to be accountable too of my finances. So, God, we pray that you would help us, Lord, in this area, help us to grow and be better with our money, which is really your money. And we pray, Father, we would be much better ambassadors and stewards with what we have. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let me close with one last thing. Many times we pray, but we're not acting in a way that corresponds with what we're praying. And so the prayer doesn't get answered, or it's a no. So be thinking about that. You're going to have to make changes. Just want to be willing to make changes. I think that's important in every area of our life, isn't it? Hey, at work, be willing to make changes. In your finances, be willing to make. In your business, willing to be make changes. I remember there was a point I was reading James chapter 5, and I came across this verse, and I think it's 3 or 4, where it says, "The wages of your workmen cries out against you." And I thought to myself, man, I'm underpaying my guy. So I gave everybody a raise. The sales went through the roof after that. It was amazing. I'll never forget that time. I met with my partner. I said, James, look what we're paying these guys. He said, yeah, I've thought about the same thing. We were both thinking the same thing. We never acted on it. So he bumped everybody a little bit. We didn't double it, but we bumped everybody a little bit. And God blessed what we were doing. We just made a decision based on the Word of God. Be willing to make changes. Okay? All right.